were lying at the side of the road. They had their arms around each other.
"Why aren't they moving?"
Ida asked. "They're not moving because they're dead," Ida's nanny replied matter-of-factly.
"Mary Aya," Mrs. Scudder scolded, "that was not necessary."
Ida looked away from the scene, but it was too late. The image of the two dead children was seared in her mind. She no longer looked forward to the dinner the cook was preparing for the family. All around her were starving people, and even the coconut and mango trees were beginning to die from lack of water. Often, when Dr. Scudder returned from the 100 or so villages under his care, Ida would hear him and her mother in whispered conversation. Ida knew they were trying to keep the worst of the famine from her, but the stories she overheard terrified her. One time, when her father was taking 2,000 rupees in silver coins to town to buy relief supplies, bandits attacked him. He did not carry a gun, but he pulled a long black cigar out of his pocket and aimed it at the bandits. In the twilight, they mistook the cigar for a firearm and fled without the silver. Another time, her father visited a village and found that the entire population had died, some of starvation and others from the dreaded disease cholera that was sweeping through the nation. Her father said that even the village cattle and dogs lay still on the ground. Ida continued to help out as best she could, but she couldn't relieve the strain her parents were under.